if you must blink, do it now.
It's time for Cinema Savant.
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is a war room.
Your weekly source for movie news.
The gods gave us many gifts. One day you'll know them all.
Movie reviews.
Are you suggesting coconuts migrate?
And the occasional Hollywood rumor.
Listen. You smell something?
Hosted by Todd Vandenberg.
Not for while you can, the monkey boy.
And Rob Steele.
We're on a mission from God.
Yikes! End away!
Here we go.
Welcome to another episode of Cinema Savants, your weekly dose of movie news and other assorted, partly spectacularness. There we go. I knew it was something.
Partly spectacular.
Yes, he's Todd Vandenberg. I'm Arthur Curry. Actually, I'm talking. We'll get to
have
that
been,
in a minute.
Have you been talking to the fishes lately?
I have been avoiding fish. I don't like fish. Not the point. Although not I miss point. Abe Vigoda. Does that count?
That counts.
I've been channeling the spirit of Abe Vigoda, so I've been talking to fish. We've got some interesting news that seems to have slipped under the radar because this came out. When did this story come? It came out on Monday. And since then, I have heard nothing about it, although I think it has the potential for being big. There's a new home TV service that's coming. And it's from a name that we've all heard before.
Abe Vigoda?
YouTube.
Oh, okay.
Abe Vigoda. It could be. Abe Vigoda might be on it at some point. But yeah, YouTube is going to have a streaming straight to your house pay TV service. That's supposed to be about $35 a month. It's not going to appear for the next couple months, but it will have live TV with the option of having a cloud-based DVR. It's going to be able to stream channels like, you know, your networks, ABC, CBS, Fox, NBC, CW. But you get your basic cable channels too, like ESPN, USA, Disney, Sci-Fi. And this is supposed to be in direct competition with things like Sling, the PlayStation Channel, or Hulu. But YouTube, I think, is it's the biggest name in streaming video, mainly for cats, but you know, still, which eat fish.
But, true.
Yeah, it's a start. What do you think about the YouTube TV concept? Do you think this is something that would actually catch on?
Why not? I mean, to remind people, YouTube is a Google company now, has been for quite a while, and some people may have forgotten that. So that's a huge company that's behind it. It's not like, oh, YouTube, well, they got some money. No, they've got the money. I'd be interested to see how much selection you can do. Like Sling has two different packages. And that's becoming more of a trend where you can do a little more a la carte choice. And
they have
everybody would like to see the point where at the least where they have maybe 16 packages and you can choose. And there's maybe four or five channels in each one. And you can, and you know, okay, a minimum of 30, 35 bucks, whatever. I get that. No one is going to give you, okay, you can have these four channels for $5 and that's all you're paying. No one's ever going to do that. But,
right.
You know, I don't want the golf channel. I don't ever want the golf channel. Nothing wrong with it. It's just
although
not what I would want. Of course it is. You know, so yeah, it would be nice to cut down on the stuff that you don't want. I mean, people, a local talked briefly a little bit of sports. Dan Le Batard, who is an ESPN broadcaster, sportscaster, talking head, very bright guy. He's down in the Miami area. And people will rant about how, oh, ESPN, they're losing money, blah, blah, blah. They're losing subscribers. And as he had pointedly demonstrated to them, it's not that they're losing subscribers. It's that cable is losing subscribers. And ESPN has been riding the back of, you get cable, you got ESPN for decades. And now people are dumping cable and choosing. They have a little more option of what they want. And if you don't want ESPN, but you've been paying for it for 25 years and never watched it because that was your choice, now they don't have it. So I would love for this. Maybe this is another step in that direction where, you know, there's nothing, no information about there, how much selection they'll have. But boy, wouldn't that be great if that competition continues to drive it towards a more customer created base. I would love that. I mean, it's better than it was even 2 years ago, let alone five years ago. So we're moving that direction. I think that's cool.
I would love an a la carte system.
Oh my God. I mean, and like I said, if you could literally choose these, select these stations you got, and I'm fine if they tell you, okay, you got to have a minimum of 20, whatever. I don't know why they would. I mean, if, you know, if they tell you you're going to pay us $35 and you only wanted one station, they would love you forever. But you know, I'm fine. If I have to have a couple that I'm not going to watch that much, that's cool. But I would really like to have this station. I don't want a bunch of movie channels. I want a few movie channels. You know, and I want some sports stations, but I don't want golf and, you know, on and on and on. So, yeah, that would be great if we can get to that point.
Right now, the YouTube package has 44 channels with two optional add-ons. The optional ones being Fox Soccer Plus, which I had never heard of before, and Showtime.
Those are two interesting. Fox Soccer Plus, that's an odd add-on. If you only have two add-ons, that's an odd add-on. But I mean, but there are also millions of people who look at that and they think, I'm in. Guaranteed. Yeah. That just seems like kind of an odd thing. We have a soccer channel and we have Showtime. Like, okay. As the add-on. So, yeah, I don't see how they could screw it up. Although, since we're talking about streaming, did you attempt to stream anything last night between the hours of like 8 and 9:30? Were you trying to watch Netflix or Hulu by any chance?
You know, oddly enough, I was not. I'm assuming something happened.
Because I was, and wasn't working. It's, you know, it'd just start up and Netflix would run and it would get to 25% and it would stop, which means they don't bother to tell you it's not working. Hulu was a disaster. Hulu was almost like the blue screen of death. even tried Amazon Prime. It's like, okay, what is going on? I've checked with a few different web services, and apparently there were massive outages all over the country. A lot of them in South Florida, but huge outages in the Northeast U.S. And I never really heard and read anything about it other than just these outage reporters, but by about 9:30, it cleared up. It was just, I mean, I've had that happen with Netflix maybe twice. And once was when Luke Cage premiered and everybody here and throughout the universe was trying to watch Luke Cage, and that's understandable. But typically, you know, it's like maybe 5-10 minutes, it's back up. It's like, this is an hour and a half. And this wasn't just Netflix. Yeah. This is Hulu too. And Amazon Prime got hit for a little bit. Although, I don't know, because that's the one that actually started working first, but, and then later on they were all on, but I just was wondering if you'd heard anything about that or if this is possibly a big denial of service attack or, because those are happening like every other week.
If it was a denial of service attack, I would have heard about it because that's, I've got flags set up for that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm guessing that's not what that was, but it's
just an odd glitch in the system. Because that's very rare for something like that to happen. Anyway, it worked. I got to see my movie. So made me happy.
We could put that into the confusing category. How's that? In the good, the bad, and the confusing?
I started watching the movie on my phone, and then I thought, oh, I'll try it again, and then it started working. Vudu was the other service I was trying to use, and Vudu was doing the same thing, was not connecting. So three different streaming services, none of them working. Like, okay, that's kind of out there.
That would fall into the category of the bad and the confusing. So
yeah.
But the good part is it's working now. So it's the good, the bad, and the confusing.
Well, unless you're listening to us, in which case that's part of the bad. But hey, we're here. Sorry, you got to listen to us. No choice.
Haha. Yeah, I'm going to play the stinger now to get into the other bit of the show. Hang on just a moment. I have good news this week. I really do, and some of it I think is
we love good news.
Is fun good news even? Although some of it does include Netflix, announced this week that on April 14th, Netflix is getting a new television program. That's really an old television program that the two of us really enjoyed. That would be Mystery Science Theater 3000, apparently the Next Generation. So they're getting new episodes of that. If you've never seen it before, watch it. It's a lot of fun. Their format for the show is basically they take an old movie that's really horrible, and they have cinema seats down at the bottom, and the people on the show watch this movie and just rip it apart, which is a lot of fun. And also coming on April 15th, new episodes of Doctor Who, which I'm looking forward to because it feels like forever since we've had new episodes of that. Let's see, other good news. I have a spectacular quote from Gal Gadot, who is playing Wonder Woman in the forthcoming Wonder Woman movie, as opposed to Gal Gadot, the arch enemy of Godzilla. Have you seen the controversy with Wonder Woman this week?
Not the latest.
I love how this was phrased. The headline of this article is Wonder Woman fans are up in armpits. The complaint is that Wonder Woman in this movie that's going to take place in World War II, so 1940s, somewhere in there. There are several scenes where she has raised her arms and people have said, her armpits are shaved. But that didn't catch on in Europe until the late 1940s, so she should have fuzzy armpits. What the hell, people? Seriously,
a little much.
So it is. Gal Gadot had an interview and told Entertainment Weekly, now bear with me, it's a long quote, but you're going to love the end of this. Quote, they said that I was too skinny and my boobs were too small. After they asked me here in Israel if I have eating disorders and why I'm so skinny, they said my head was too big and my body was like a broomstick. I can take anything. It's just empty talk. I understand that part of what I'm doing means being exposed. And part of being exposed is being under fire. When I was younger, I would take criticism really hard, but now it bemuses me. True Amazons had one boob so it wouldn't bother them in their archery. So it's not going to be like real Amazons. Can you imagine having to go through and graphically enhance every Amazon in this movie so they just had the one boob?
That would increase your budget severely.
I would think.
Good for her.
I think to spectacular quote
to go to hell.
Gal Gadot, that's why I put it in the good. I love that quote. Spectacular. Mm-hmm. Couple Disney notes in the good news. Let's start off with all this talk of there being live action Disney movies, of formerly animated Disney movies. There is no planned live-action version of Frozen in the foreseeable future. That's good news. I consider that to be spectacular news. I love it. Let's see, other live-action news from the Disney stuff. Mulan, not going to have songs in it. They're ditching the music for more martial arts fighting scenes. And I'm good with that.
Interesting that they're ditching the music, though. I mean, I'm good with that, too, as long as the scenes are good. And obviously they should be, but martial arts fighting scenes aren't always good. That is an interesting choice. But that's an interesting choice for Disney. I'm surprised at that.
I like this choice, though. And this is probably going to go into that whole Beauty and the Beast, oh, my God, that character's gay thing. Who cares? But they're doing a live-action Little Mermaid. And the guy who's doing the music for it is legendary composer Alan Menken, who has said that he would absolutely love Harvey Fierstein to play Ursula.
Oh, my God.
Now, if you picture that in your head, and if you don't know who Harvey Fierstein is, look him up, because everybody knows who he is.
I'm buying tickets now if that happens.
Harvey has said, you know what? I would love to do that. So two thumbs up already for this movie if they do that.
That would work. That would totally work. That would be brilliant. And the voice is pretty similar anyway.
Pat Carroll had that really deep thing
going on there when she played Ursula. So how funny.
But now we have to go into the bad news. And this goes back to DC. Well, it's going to happen. And it comes out of the Batman movie, which isn't even scheduled for, you know, not this year, not next year, whenever it's going to be. And that's the problem.
Yep.
Joe Manganiello, and I've mispronounced that horribly, was supposed to play Deathstroke in this movie. He's the bad guy in the Batman movie. But, and he said this when he was, and I'm trying to figure out where he would be in this movie. He was promoting the Smurfs movie this week. And he said he's not sure if he's going to be in the Batman anymore because of all the crazy production talk that's going on with the film. He has actually been given, quote, a minor compensation role in the movie Rampage, which is based on the video game from the 1980s of big monsters beating up buildings. And to go along with this, J.K. Simmons, not to be confused with J.K. Rowling, different person altogether. Commissioner Gordon from the Batman movies is saying he's not even sure he's going to be in it anymore because of all the scheduling changes. And that's horrible because I don't know if you've seen the video of him working out and getting buff, which I'm not sure why Commissioner Gordon is buff anyway, but there it is. That would be horrible, I would think. So bad Batman. I don't know what's going on with the Batman movie, but I'd like him to figure it out and get it fixed. So it looks like they were getting, it is, but I don't know.
I mean, before they figure it out, we know it's going to be a while before they do it, but yeah, it's off the rails at this point.
See, they can't get this straight. However, Netflix, in a fit of sheer drunkenness, my guess would be, have given Adam Sandler a four movie deal.
Yeah.
So,
well, unfortunately, that means that people were watching the Adam Sandler movies. So, because if they weren't, why would they? I don't know why, but you know, more power. Maybe it's part of a 12-step process, and that's part of your punishment. I don't know.
It could be. The other bad news I've got this week, and we were talking about this before the show, comes from TV. And it was the last talent show on TV that I actually liked. And this was the Gong Show back in 1976. The host of the show, Chuck Barris, who was, I thought he was cool and needed to be in more stuff. He died this week, which is very sad. I'm quite bummed about that, actually.
He was much bigger in TV behind the scenes than people realize. He created a couple shows people are familiar with from back in the day, the dating game. There's a version of it that's still on, for God's sakes. And the Newlywed Game, which was famous for having people saying things they shouldn't have said on television in the 60s that now people would just kind of laugh. But still, it was like, really, you went there? And of course, it was all set up just so they would do that. And of course, they were dying for people to say that. And I'm sure they fed them some of the stuff. But Barris himself, the set of the Gong Show, and I didn't realize this, it was supposed to have a different host, a gentleman by the name of John Barber, who apparently just thought this was like a straight talent show and didn't get the joke that it was a parody of it. So they canned him and literally had no one else to go on. And NBC said, okay, you do it. So Barris went on and just kind of partly from what I'm reading, partly it was his shtick, but partly he really was awkward and nervous about being on TV because he was shy and didn't really want to do it. So all of his weird little antics were partly just him being him. And he was a hilarious host, and the show was an absolute parody of a talent show. And it's almost what they've turned into now is, you know, America's Got Talent, and they make sure that they have something awful on. Whereas the Gong Show, basically, everything was awful. And occasionally something would sneak through That would be funny. Like the guy who wore the paper bag on his head and billed himself as the unknown comic, you know, and
yeah,
Gene, the dancing machine. I just
actually,
very,
you know, one of my
bizarre.
Favorite acts from this, and they went on to do much bigger and better things. And they shortened their name. They used to be the Mystic Knights of the Oingo Boingo. And they just dropped that first part and came on to be Oingo Boingo. They won the Gong Show one day.
They won the Gong Show? I never realized that. Oh my God.
It's really weird. It's on YouTube if you can you know, look that up. Not the TV service, the actual YouTube. Yeah, Danny Elfman, for some reason, is wearing a bathtub, if I remember correctly. I don't know why. It's really bizarre. It's really weird. And that part doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but I'm glad they won because they went on to be, I thought, a fairly good band. A personal favorite of mine. But yeah, the Gong Show was such a fun show to watch.
Very insane show. And yeah, if you have the chance to catch a few episodes and you just want to unplug from everything, it's a really good way to do it because you can't think of anything else while you're watching the show. It's zany, as Mr. Barris
would
say.
Zany. There's something we don't see very much anymore.
Zany.
it was a weird show, but it was a fun, weird show. Which I have no confusing news of the week, except maybe this, which goes into the weird thing. And I can see this movie. If this was on the Gong Show, it would have gotten gonged. I foresee it being on MST3K, the new version. And I just came across this film title by accident. Because my wife was watching an episode of The Mentalist, which I think that's a good show. If you get a chance, watch those.
Mm-hmm.
Good, bizarre crime drama thing. But they had a guy playing a Colombian diplomat. And I recognized him. It took me a little while. It's Dario Cueto from Lucha Underground. And I went, hang on a minute. He was an actor,
too. Are you serious?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
So I went, oh, my God, he's been in other stuff, and looked him up. And he was in a movie in 2007 that I have absolutely no information on apart from the title, called Santa Claus versus the Taliban Time Travelers from Outer Space. If anyone has any information on this movie, send it to the show. we have an email address, cinemasavants@coilentertainmentnetwork.com. I'd like to know more about this movie because it sounds really stupid.
Sounds like it's being a double bill with Turkish Spider-Man. I mean,
it
wow.
should be. I saw that and just went, oh dear, that's
now I have to see it.
I suppose there's another. It's not confusing. I'm just not sure what to make of this. Universal announced this week that they're doing a movie called The Voyage of Dr. Doolittle, starring Robert Downey Jr. as Dr. Doolittle. Do you care? Because I'm finding I don't either.
I saw that and it's just there was yeah. I have a feeling that's going to be a huge hit like Pete's Dragon was, which means it won't.
Oh, exactly.
I don't know. That just seems like blah. Total blah to me.
Something that may or not be... Actually, it's not going to be a blah. I can see it being a good movie, although I'm still not happy with it. This week, the two big movies that are opening this weekend... Our Ghost in the Shell, which I hope does good, but I'd like it to have actually, you know, stuck with what was going on in the anime and the graphic novels and everything.
Right.
But it looks like it's going to be at least a pretty movie. It's going to be beautiful eye candy, if nothing else.
Right.
And from the box office standpoint, it better beat this other movie that's coming out, which is Boss Baby. Now, what I want to say about that. My 9-year-old daughter saw the trailer and said, you know what? I would like to see it, but it should be Baby Boss or The Boss Baby because Boss Baby is grammatically incorrect. This came from my 9-year-old.
That's awesome. Oh, that's fantastic.
I may have to rent that someday. I can't see going to a theater. I don't care if Alec Baldwin's in it. I don't care if he thinks he's Donald Trump in the movie. No, I'm not going to go see that.
Yeah, the preview's done too. I can see where kids might like it, although the kids probably would like them to correct the grammar in the title. But yeah, not doesn't do anything for me. And I like Alec Baldwin a lot, but nah, that premise is just too stupid.
No, not going there.
No, thanks.
And I wanted to get your opinion on this because this is kind of a new story and it's not confusing. It's just kind of really, is it necessary? There have been who is it? Bob Iger, the head of Disney movies and everything, has talked about how there's going to be a Star Wars Episode 8, Episode 9, mm-hmm. a Han Solo movie, a Boba Fett movie, an Obi-Wan movie, a new animated TV series, a new live-action TV series. And he said this week that he's looking at doing beyond Episode 9 in the movies. Now, I love Star Wars, but is this too much Star Wars?
Well, but before we get to that, we may ask this caller. We have a caller who's been on hold for six weeks and 17, actually about a minute. So no green room here.
I foresee it being a Ted.
I foresee it being possibly a Ted. Greetings, caller.
Is it a Ted?
By yourself.
Hello?
Stand and deliver or
Hello?
Something.
Indeed. So what do you think about that? Is that too much Star Wars?
It's never enough Star Wars. Come on. I mean, especially if they make it like The Force Awakens, which is like a reboot of Star Wars, which is The Last Jedi. Is like, is it Return of the Jedi or is it Empire Strikes Back? Which remake is that going to be?
So Ted is on record as saying there's never too much Star Wars. So Ted is officially on board with the 8-part Netflix series Jar Jar, The Return. I just want to make that clear. Ted said there can never be too much Star Wars. So, Ted, thank you. We have you.
I heard a rumor about that. I heard the Ewoks are going to be in it.
Ewoks and Adam Sandler. Adam Sandler is his buddy.
Oh, my God.
That's part of the four film deal.
Chris Hardwick and Chris Pine.
Far and Barbar.
Think about this. Are they coming? I mean, there's so much content they have for the Star Wars universe. If they're not retelling an old story or if they can branch outside the Skywalker legacy, I mean, hey, they get my $30 or however much it's going to be in 2030 to watch a Star Wars movie.
Well, I've heard they're taking a page from the Fox Marvel concept, and they're going to do a Dark Phoenix saga, and they're going to do that twice too. So, you know, why leave that storyline to the X-Men? I mean, let's branch out. Let's put that in every Fox property. Let's screw up the Star Wars universe with it. I'm with Ted. As long as they do them well, keep making them. I mean, I wasn't a huge fan of The Force Awakens, but I liked it. I mean, to me, it was too much of a rehash. But
yeah,
you know,
I thought Rogue
all right.
was better.
And I did like Rogue One more, and you know, as long as they do a good job with them, yeah. Like Ted said, how many plots are there for Star Wars films? I mean, God, what are there, like 600-700 that they already have access
right.
to because of all these books and graphic novels and
Hang on a minute though, all of the books and the comics and everything before the Disney deal have been redacted; they never existed.
Right.
They're not real writers anymore.
So they'll have to get other writers.
I was an author of one of those books.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
There goes your $6 million deal. So,
exactly.
But then again, get in line. You can say, hey, I wrote these 6 Star Wars novels. This is the numbers. I could probably write your next screenplay. So I can see that happening too.
But to back up what Rob is saying, how much is too much, Todd?
Well, if I get tired of it, I won't go. But I don't see the audience really getting that tired of it. You know, if it gets to the point where the numbers start dropping or they start making crap, then they'll take a few years off and they'll relaunch. You know, why not? I mean, they've been making James Bond movies for, what are we into, almost the sixth decade of it? No reason for the...
7,000 years.
Yeah. The Mayans were celebrating 007. So, yeah, I don't see...
A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, lived a secret agent.
Ted, what other reason did you have for calling and harassing us?
Oh, I wanted to hear your commentary on Justice League, the trailer. Did you guys already get into that?
We have not.
That was a wonderful segue, because that's where I was going next anyway.
Ted's such a pro.
I love Ted. Ted is wonderful. Unfortunately, the way I think the way this trailer came out is it looks almost exactly the same way all the other DC trailers come out, in that you look at it and go, damn, this looks like it's going to be awesome. And then you go see it, and it's not as good as the trailer. And I'm afraid that's where this is going, because that's the way I think this new generation of DC movies is gone. Because you look at the Man of Steel trailer, had a really good trailer, but the movie didn't live up to it. To me, anyway, the Superbat movie, again, the trailer looked awesome, and the movie, I don't think the movie was hideous the way a lot of people do, but it didn't live up to the hype of the trailer. Suicide Squad, same way. I'm worried Wonder Woman's going to do that. And Justice League, the trailer hit yesterday. It looked wonderful, but I suspect when the movie comes out, it's not going to live up to being as exciting as the trailer looked.
And we know why. Trailers are easy to make if you've done anything remotely cinematic, because it's just little moments, and it can be sound bites and big splashy moments. There's no plot construction. There's no script required whatsoever. And that's where these movies fell apart. It wasn't in the action scenes for the most part. It was the plotting, and it was awful in some cases, or bad, or in certain parts of it, they made really terrible choices. And you can't see that in trailers. There's no way to tell if they knew what the hell they were doing when they finally made the film from a trailer. Yeah, the trailer looks great.
Ghost in the Shell has told me a few things.
Well,
but that's put in the bad parts in the trailer, as far as I'm concerned.
True enough. And you know, we'll see. I'm not a big fan of the Cyborg character over a couple other people who should have been in the Justice League movie to me, Martian Manhunter.
Yes.
Green Lantern. Cyborg is
Hawkman.
Very much
Doctor Fate.
Yeah. There are a lot of characters that they could have gone with other than Cyborg. So that's an odd choice. I guess it's not an odd choice, because he's a younger character, and it's like, oh, they'll identify more, but whatever, fine. That's a stupid choice in my opinion, but that's just my opinion. But
they're making a big push with him in the comics right now. He's finally got his own book. And when in the last reboot of the DC Universe, they skipped him being a Teen Titan and put him straight in the Justice League. So that's where they're going with that, I think.
But what matters is if it's well written and if it makes sense. And the trailer looks great. Absolutely. You know, has me interested in going to see it, which is, that's the point of a trailer. Do you want to go see it?
Exactly.
And I'm one of the people who really, really is not a fan of Bat V Soup. And not a fan of Suicide Squad either. They did a good job, because I am interested in this movie. And after having seen those other two movies, I wasn't remotely interested in seeing it, because I just thought, man, that's just what a crap fest. Like, I don't want to see what they're going to do with this next. I have a feeling it will be average at best. I can't imagine them continuing to make bad movies and not realizing they're making bad movies while they're making them. Someone somewhere in Warner's has to be able to look at a film and realize, wow, that sucks, halfway through, and make some changes. So I don't see how they can continue to make films that, and Suicide Squad to me was better than Bat V Soup. So, and hopefully Wonder Woman will be good. I'd be thrilled if they're good. That would be great. Just don't have a lot of faith in it. But yeah, at least the trailer looks decent, because hey, we've all seen trailers where the trailer looks bad, and then it's like, oh my God, they couldn't figure out how to make a 30-second film. Like, how are they going to make a 2-hour film? So, yeah. Yeah, the trailer is, and as you were saying earlier, Aquaman has been totally revamped. Because they needed to. He's an interesting, well, he's always an interesting character, but for the wrong reasons. Now he's a very interesting, cool character. And I like that there's a little levity in it when the Flash asks Batman what his superpower is. That's a nice little line, which I'm not going to spoil it for you. If you've not seen the trailer, invest a little bit of time and watch the trailer, because that alone makes me think, oh, okay, they realized we need a little levity in this. So, cool. Hopefully it'll be good. We'll see soon.
Hey, it's 2 minutes and 30 seconds. You should invest at least that much time in the trailer.
Exactly.
Just some other quick points I want to make. You mentioned about Cyborg and not going to the Teen Titans. I think that was because of the Rooney Rule, that he went straight to the Justice League.
Oh dear.
Ted wins the internet.
I'm gonna be one of the few people to say the director's cut of B versus S, I wish they released that in the movies. Unfortunately, it was 3 hours long.
Right.
But it was a much better version than the chopped up two and a half hour version that was released in the movie theaters. I mean, I understand there's amount of theaters and amount of plays you have to get per day, but I think this is all about the money grab with DC. You're not going to get the same level that you get with Marvel, but as long as they can gross between, domestic and abroad, close to $1 billion, I think we are going to continue to see these movies. Now, once they start dipping below, that 750 mark or like that 500 mark, then I can see them slowing down. But I think the key player in this is, what does Affleck do or Batfleck do, and when does that movie come out? Because that's the cornerstone of the franchise.
Yeah, we were talking about that before, and it's just, that isn't so much limbo. Every time you turn around, a key player is dropping out. It won't be long before Affleck, it seems like, before he just says, okay, I'm out of it too. He's already dropped out from the director's chair, so I don't know.
That's when Gyllenhaal takes over.
Yeah, and it's getting pushed back so far.
I hope I'm making
that
up, by the way.
Why not? It's getting pushed back so far at this point, it almost wouldn't make any difference if someone other than Affleck plays him, which would be a shame because I thought he did a really good job. He was one of the bright spots
in
Batman Soup. But, if they wait much longer, it's like just recast it, But then maybe he would be interested in coming back and directing, which would be, I would be fine with that also. So that's a long way away, sadly.
It is. We've still probably got at least 2 years before this movie's coming out.
Right.
So it'll be Dave Chappelle as Batman.
Which, Ted,
and
since you're black,
it would be Harvey Fierstein
as
the Joker.
I have to ask Ted, because he's black, and therefore he has watched the Dave Chappelle show, because as I understand the culture, it is a law. All black people must watch Dave Chappelle. That's good.
Oh,
have you had a chance to catch Have you had a chance to catch either of his shows on Netflix, though?
Yes, I have. And no, I didn't watch it.
I'm proven right.
I did not watch it because I'm black. But I am black. Wait, I'm confused right now.
I watched it because I'm black. And I watched it, so I'm black, too.
Yes.
What did you think?
I thought episode one was increasingly better than episode two. Episode one, or I'm not even sure what they're calling it, but it was just, he just seemed so much looser, so much, hey, I'm back.
Hey. Ted, the second one is in Texas. Do you think he's going to be relaxed in Texas?
Of course not.
I'm not relaxed in Texas.
Exactly. Not either.
Of course not. But, dude, that first episode, I forgot what it was called. Can't remember what it was called.
I remember what they call it either. Just that he's in Detroit.
Yeah. But was he in Detroit or in L.A.?
Yeah, he's. Yeah. I mean, look at that, because he referenced Detroit so much. I may have conflated that with that he was in Detroit.
But I mean, where he was talking about O.J. and talking about Cosby and just he.
Oh my God!
He killed it.
It was his first show in L.A. in 10 years.
Oh, okay. It was L.A.
Okay. Yeah, he killed it.
Cosby. Oh my God! That sequence was amazing. I like the second one, I guess, a little more than you did. I agree. The first set was better than the second. But that, the way he got into Cosby,
like, man,
Chappelle, talk about still got it. Like, holy cow.
Well, he just lets you know, you have Kevin Hart, you have all of these other...
Kevin Hart. Because of his bit on Kevin Hart, that's why I'm laughing. Sorry.
Oh, that was great. But you have all these other comedians that are out there. I'm sorry. This guy is.
Yeah.
He's the king.
He is. He's the standard. He's not knocking anybody else. But when he makes one of his jokes is because he talks about, you know, people say I'll talk about anything, but I was going to talk about the cops, but I'm going to leave that to Chris Rock. Like,
right.
You know, they're like, damn,
yes.
This guy is so funny. And he says, this is a lot, it puts in a lot of social and political commentary without hitting you over the head with it, but he does it a lot and works it in amazingly funny ways. It's like, yeah, I agree. He is still the king. No doubt. It's my gosh. Those were amazing. Have you get a chance to catch either one of them, Rob?
No, actually, I haven't yet. I feel so white right now.
Rob's white,
yeah.
Just in case you didn't know. He's a
Rob
white Southerner.
White. Oh,
am I allowed to watch
him? Yes!
Yeah, that was...
I was beginning to wonder at this point. I didn't know.
I was... And we'll get off Chappelle in a second, but what were your expectations, Ted? Because I was kind of leery about if he would still
Dennis Leary.
Have it.
He's white.
with Chappelle, expectations are through the roof. They're totally through the roof, and you're expecting Chappelle's show from 10 years ago. But I think we all got a taste of what to expect during the Saturday Night Live, the day after, I think that the show right after the election. Yeah, the election with our new president.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So totally through the roof.
Yeah, he definitely still has it. I was very happy to see that because my expectations were just kind of like, well, I don't know. That's been a long time. But, and I know he'd done that, but that's, it was nice. It was very, very cool. It was better than any of the 4 Adam Sandler movies that are going to be on Netflix. I'll tell you that for damn sure. So no doubt about that.
Oh, come on. That's by default.
Well, that's true. When streaming services weren't working last night, that actually would have been better by far. If I had mistakenly clicked on Sandler's newest movie and got the blue screen of death instead, that would have been better. So just as well. Anyway.
I was looking for Santa Claus and the Taliban time travelers from outer space, so I couldn't find it, so I didn't notice that it was crashed.
No luck. How sad. Let me ask you a quick. Rob, have you caught much more of Iron Fist yet?
Not as much as I'd like. I've made it through. Okay, fine. I've made it through episode 2 now, finally.
Yay!
It's been one of those weeks.
Any Iron Fist? Have you caught any of it?
Not yet. But it's in the queue.
It's in the queue. You definitely want to watch it. You definitely want to watch it. I just came across this report that said is the, of course, Luke Cage blew everything out of the water. But it actually, Iron Fist had better numbers than either Daredevil or Jessica Jones in the first week. So people are watching it. And of course, this is from some company that is analytics, because of course Netflix never releases numbers. It's scoring well as far as fans are rating it. Of course, the critics are has a lot of mixed reactions. My big problem with it is Iron Fist looks like any of the other Marvel characters could totally kick his ass in a fight. And it's like, right. Dude, you're supposed to have trained in martial arts for 12 years, and you are slow, buddy. You are slow. You wouldn't even make it in Bellator. So I don't care if you got an Iron Fist. You get knocked out before you could charge up your glowy hand. So I've got a problem with that. Other than that, I mean, it's not one of their better efforts. It's the least of those four shows. But to me, it's actually still worth watching. It's still a good show. It's just that bar, like Rob and I were saying, after Luke Cage, the bar is so high. It's like, holy crap, you know? How can they keep doing this? And it turns out, for me, they couldn't keep doing it. But it's still a good show. It's not by any means a bad show. It's okay, and parts of it are really good. Just, you know, like I said, the biggest problem with me is the fight scenes. And that's what I was thinking of, and which Rob mentioned, Iron Fist, when he's talking about Mulan, that they're cutting all the songs out of live-action Mulan for more martial arts scenes. Well, hopefully Finn Jones is not in it, because, of course, he better not be in it, because it's Mulan, for God's sakes. But I just don't... I just
Matt
don't
Damon
get...
will be.
Matt Damon will be. He'll have a bunch of arrows, though, and he'll be with all his friends from
right.
The Wall, which was... Yeah, that's a perfect illustration. Iron Fist is better than the Great Wall. So there you are. Go watch Iron Fist.
I just want to let you guys know. I heard something that I wasn't really cool with, and I don't know if you heard that the Defenders are only going to be 8 episodes. Did you guys hear anything about that?
I have heard that in rumor form. I haven't heard it confirmed yet, though.
Oh, okay.
Would not be cool.
I've heard that it's going to be a shorter series, mainly because of budget, because you're going to have to get all the main characters in.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and it's not just, you know, Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Iron Fist, and Luke Cage. You're also going to have to get Foggy and the secretary whose name has escaped me. You're going to have to get... Trinity, what is her name? Carrie Ann Moss to come back and play the lawyer person. You've got to get all the sub characters in Luke Cage, all the sub characters in Iron Fist. And I think that's the problem when you have these composite movies. And they did a good job with the Avengers in that they dropped so many of the secondary characters in a way that made sense.
I think
the way the Defenders are coming together, it's not going to make as much sense if they drop all these characters, because the Avengers took place in different places and then they went to New York. This is already in New York. It's going to take place in New York. So all the characters, I mean, yes, they all decided to go to Florida this week. So they're not here. No, they're still going to be in New York. So it, from a financial standpoint, I think it makes sense to shorten it a bit, but have all the characters there and all interacting. I think that's going to be, if they do it right, it's going to be really good.
Yeah, and that could actually work to tighten up the storyline too. Instead of doing a 13-hour story, it's an 8-hour story. So that could actually serve it a lot better. So that's still disappointing, but like you said, totally makes sense from a financial standpoint. And
my kids go to school for 8 hours a day. So I could just take a day off and actually binge the whole series in one day. Hey, I'm good with that.
I need more than 8 hours of Defenders, but that's okay. Oh, you know what they could do? They could cut the 5 hours they're going to give to Iron Fist and just make it. No, they won't do that, but they won't ever do that. So poor Iron Fist. Although I did have this thought.
I'm putting it down now. Doobie-doo. Making notes. I'm not Arthur Curry anymore. It will be Danny Rand.
Daredevil wasn't even really Daredevil until the last episode of the entire first series of Daredevil. So that could be more or less the pattern they're following with Iron Fist. Although there is a great line, and it's not exactly a spoiler, but it is a funny line. One character looks at Danny Rand and says, "You are the worst Iron Fist ever." And it's like, yeah. Rings a little true there, buddy. Of course, he's the only Iron Fist ever in this world, so.
Picky.
Yeah. So hopefully he becomes better in the next incarnation of Iron Fist. That is the hope. Maybe they'll film it in high frame rate so he looks faster. I don't know what they'll do. It sounds like it's not bad at all. It's fun. It's definitely worth seeing. It's just not as good as the other Marvel shows. That's all.
Oh, there is my goodness.
There's a film.
So I understand you went to see Life this weekend.
Yes, I was going to say, there's a film, a science fiction horror film that came out called Life. And it's not as good as some of the better known things like Alien, which a lot of people are comparing. This is like an updated Alien film. It's enjoyable. It's worth watching. It does have a few of those glitches that drove me crazy about Gravity. Like the fact that, like in Gravity, Sandra Bullock, she's floating around in zero gravity, but her hair hangs down. It's like, okay, you should have done something about that. You should have thought about that. For a movie that they pushed so hard, look how realistic we've made these, and it didn't occur to you that her freaking hair would float. Give her a short haircut or give her a hat. And, you know, maybe she should wear something a little warmer than her undies, because... You know, I don't think the capsule was like 87 degrees the whole time. Not complaining, but just don't see it's realistic when you do that. Okay.
Hey guys, I'm gonna have to drop off.
Like no.
Okay.
Skip your own show. Skip your own show, Ted. Ted, thank
you
so
much.
Ted's got to go do his real job. There are a few little glitches like that, but it didn't really bother. He's doing another gig, his own gig. It's entertaining. The cast is good. There are a few surprises along the way that were unexpected. It does have a nice twist at the end, which I didn't sit there thinking this is going to happen, but I wasn't that surprised that it did because it seems kind of an obvious thing to do. But at least they did make a nice little twist. It's worth watching. But this is, don't rush out and change your plans to go see it. You might even just wait. It looks cool on a big screen. There's that going for it. But it's not, the Alien is not that really original. And, you know, it's kind of fits in. It's like, yeah, we've seen this kind of thing before. It's well done for what it is. I'll tell you, for the box office, Sony has got to be somewhat upset. They didn't spend a lot of money on it, like under $60 million budget, but it only didn't even do 13 opening weekend. Not that that's bad, but when you compare it to the films that it should be compared to, which of course are other sci-fi horror films, I'm not going to compare it to Aliens. Aliens had very small openings. I mean, the widest release was 757 screens. So Alien was not a huge mega hit back in the day. It was more of a cult hit. Aliens, though, was a bigger hit, although it didn't really do a ton of money either. But Aliens opened up at... It had like a soft opening and... No, I'm sorry. I was thinking of Alien. Aliens opened up and did 16 million. This is in 1986. So...
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money in 1986, and it only opened at 1,400 screens, and it stayed number one for 4 weeks. You want to compare that to Life, which opened up at a mere...
It was not the movie of the week. Beauty and the Beast was still the top...
Life opened number four, and it was at twice the number of screens. It was at 3,000 theaters. So Sony cannot be too happy because it is not going to increase in the second week. It's not going to stay close. So they're going to take kind of a bath on this. And it's kind of unfortunate because it's not a bad movie. It's a good movie, but no one is going to think, oh, yeah, this is the new Aliens. No. If you haven't, If you think this is the new Alien, you have not seen Alien. Maybe you saw Aliens 3 or Alien versus Predator, because it's more along those lines. You know, it's worth watching, but this is not going to start a franchise.
Would it be,
which is unfortunate, because I was really looking forward to it.
Would it be a better movie from a box office standpoint if it weren't up against Beauty and the Beast?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it would have done better. But, you know, it's not – this is an R-rated horror film. I mean, that I don't – of course, some people are taking their kids to see Beauty and the Beast that maybe would have seen this, but it's not the same audience at all.
Yeah.
So I don't really see that Beauty and the Beast probably really hurt it that much. Power Rangers maybe had a little bit more of a crossover because of the sci-fi aspect of it, but that's more – I picture that's
and you
more.
Can take the kids to that one, though.
Yeah, exactly. And Kong outperformed it even. And Kong, that would be the only film that's really in that vein. And what is this, the fourth week of Kong? So
that sounds right, yeah.
Yeah, that's not really good to come in fourth, you know, Beauty and the Beast aside, which Beauty and the Beast was just, it grossed 80, almost 90 million this weekend in its second week. That's just incredible. Power Rangers
is
40, which they've got to be thrilled. With a $40 million opening for Power Rangers.
Well,
so
there's going to be a sequel. And I think the thing with Power Rangers is that the first generation of people who watched it now have kids who are the same age as they were when they watched it. So it really is a next generation thing.
Right.
Come watch what I watched as a kid.
Exactly.
Because you kind of do that when you have kids.
You know,
that's why my kids have watched Star Wars and Star Trek and Batman, the animated series, and why my 9-year-old is not quite addicted, but really enjoys Ye Olde Super Friends.
And that's a good thing to really enjoy. Those are fun.
With Wendy, Marvin, Wonder Dog. So there.
Yeah. Now that you remind me, maybe that's not such a great thing, but anyway, I can totally see how your 9-year-old is into it. That makes perfect sense to me. So I'm not saying don't go see Life, but don't rush. It's good, but it's not like, wow, that was amazing, which made me sad because I was really looking forward to it. There you go. Watch Across the Universe again. That's the movie I was desperately trying to stream last night. That's like the 7th time I've seen it. Great. 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 And that's 10 years old, so it's the 10th anniversary will be coming up soon for that. And hopefully they'll re-release it at theaters, which reminds me, we've talked before about them re-releasing old films April 2nd and 5th. North by Northwest, the Hitchcock classic with Cary Grant, will be at theaters on April 2nd and 5th. And boy, talk about Hitchcock movies, usually doesn't matter if you watch them on TV or not, but this is absolutely made for the wide screen because so many scenes in this film really, really you want to see it in the theater. So catch that if it's playing near you. North by Northwest.
There are a lot of movies from that era where you have to have the widescreen aspect. You know, Ye Olde Pan and Scan doesn't cut it because you're missing so much.
Well, even with film, new TVs, and you know, you've got the widescreen aspect and stuff, it's just not the same. And you know, unless you've got an 80-inch screen and you sit within 2 feet of it, which probably not good for you. But I'm hopefully I will have a chance to catch that because that's one of my 100 favorite movies, I guess. And I would definitely want to see that at the screen movie theater. So,
and that,
nothing more.
That sounds like you have something to do for that week. What do you have to do for this week? Have other shows and stuff? I'm assuming.
For this week, I have nothing to do until Saturday, but Tuesday will
Cover 32 Seahawks show.
Wednesday will be Late Night Parents with the pleasant guest we just had, Mr. Ted Hicks. And as it stands right now, Saturday we'll have baseball, beer, and barbecue. And you, sir?
Let's see. Tomorrow there will likely be another episode of the FWAT show, which will not just include all the politics and news of the past week, but also a quick review of the new app Mario Run.
Cool.
Because there's something that needs to be said about it. So tune in for that. And on Wednesday, 2 pages of mystery, because next Saturday is April Fool's Day. I thought I'd do another comedic episode of Two Pages of Mystery, where we will have the return of the paradoxical Joseph Vendredi in the comedic thriller Blasphemous.
Oh my God!
This is it's going to be a fun show. So
awesome!
Be sure to check that out.
Yeah,
it'll be fun.
Highly recommended, because I'm just laughing thinking of the one you did before. Oh my gosh! Okay.
Yeah.
With that, I'm going to hit the closing button.
Sounds
Thanks
like
for
a good
listening.
Idea. Have a good week, everybody.
Ariel, Opa, ride!
Do you think they will let me live in Montana?
I was thinking of the immortal words of Socrates, who said, I drank what?
Man, we have a weird job.
It's shameful, but it's a living.
Darn, that's the end.